From that portion of scripture, we want to use the title, "The Choice is Yours, But the Wedding Will Go On." The choice is yours, but the wedding will go on.
Hello.
Amen. We need to think about that. The choice is yours, but the wedding will go on. Preparing for this message, I said, you know what? I wish I could find every person that I witnessed to in the past, because I wanted to make sure they did not reject Jesus Christ because I was overzealous. And I need to let them know the choice is really yours. But sometimes I was so excited about what Jesus was doing in my life and what he could do in their lives, especially when they shared their problem with me. I may have been overzealous, so they may have thought I was trying to force them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But one thing I began to understand, you got to let folks know the choice is still yours, because God never sentenced anyone to eternal damnation, hell, or did he force anybody to go to heaven. The choice is always ours. And sometimes the way we present the gospel, people think we're trying to twist their arm or trying to force them to do something. And I, you know, I apologize, because the word of God can stand all by itself and all on itself. Don't need me to push it. Don't need me to dress it. Don't need me to add anything to it or take anything away from it. But sometimes my joy and sometimes my overzealousness might get in the way. So I'm sorry, but the choice is yours. But I guarantee you today, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will tell you unequivocally, you've made the wrong choice. Oh, the choice is still yours, but wrong is wrong and right is right. Amen. Because this wedding's going to go on. Whether you get there or whether, even if you show up, you might get thrown out. Sorry. What is that speaking about? Speaking about folks just being phony. Just going through the motion with no emotion. Going through the motion with no attachment. I'm getting ahead of myself. Putting everything else before God. And the word of God says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," unto us. So the question is, no matter how God blessed me, how do I have the nerve to take what God blesses me with and put it in front of my worship and my praise and my devotion and my commitment and my service and my meditation and my prayer before God? I got this thing backward. And God is so gracious and so merciful that I don't even realize that God is upset with me. Because God's like that. He'll let you meddle in that, muddle in it until you finally say, "Oh, what am I doing?" The choice is yours, but the wedding will go on. I know some folk wish they could do that. Like, you go get married and somebody don't show up, like the bride or groom don't show up. You wish you'd go get married anyway. Give me somebody out of the audience. I'm getting married. Shucks. This wedding's going on anyway. It's a letdown. All this preparation. All this money. And nobody and the right people don't show up. But Jesus said in this parable, the wedding feast will go on, and anyone that's not prepared shall not be invited, shall not remain. That's marriage. That's powerful. Because I look at some of the invitations and they tell you what to wear. To get in here, you got to wear something. Amen. You got to wear the right clothes when you come to this marriage. Otherwise, Jesus will get the servant to throw you out. Don't come in dressed in your hypocritical oath. Mm-mm. Don't come here dressed in all that nonsense that we use in church service, trying to make folk think we holy. You can't come to the marriage supper. You can't come to the feast dressed in that stuff that impresses us, the stuff that fools us. You got to come dressed right, because the one that's giving the feast already know who you are and already know what you're about. And when he looks at you, he knows that you're dressed proper. Oh, when we get to the last verse, he said, the nerve of you coming in here dressed like that. This ain't regular stuff. This is the marriage supper. This is the final gathering, the final get together. Often enough, people forget about that invitation to accept Christ, that it's an invitation for a lifetime. The enemy got so much stuff out there. They got so many questions for you. Well, the imam said this, and the Quran said this, and Hare Krishna said this, and Mobutu said this. I have my wife having that. Anything. But I'm just letting you know the truth. And they come with all this other stuff. But see, many times when faced with the decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, so much attention is focused on what I have to give up and what I need to know. And now I need to go to church. And now I have to learn the Bible. That minimal attention is focused on the fact that God so loved us. It's a love story. It ain't about what you got to give up and where you got to go. And now I got to read the Bible. Now I can't get drunk. Now I can't be a whoremonger. Yeah, you can be all that. But if you get Christ in your life, you don't want to be all that. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and not filled with all that other stuff. And you don't want to be a whoremonger, because the Holy Ghost comes in and your life begins to change, and your direction begins to change, and your mind begins to change, and your heart begins to change, and your focus begins to change, and your destiny begins to change. When you get Jesus in you, some of that stuff you wanted before, you don't want anymore, because you're being transformed to a new person. And when you become a new person, there's new stuff that you like. There's a new taste. There's a new desire. There's a new appetite that goes on. We get so hung up at what we got to do. It's deep. We forget the fact that it's love, and Jesus Christ purchased this eternal life for us. And we get mad at our kids and mad at each other. I brought that for you, and look how you treat it. Salvation is free to you, but somebody paid for it. Right. Every time I receive something free, somebody paid for it. Just because it did not cost me doesn't mean it was free for the person that paid. Amen. Do you know what Jesus went through for all of us? Yeah, we just go around thinking, I don't need no Jesus. I'll do this, I'll do that. We forget the fact that an awesome cost. If you think you somebody, you think you all that, then how much you think Jesus paid for you since you all that? Since you all that, and Jesus died to redeem you, then you should understand how much he had to pay through his blood for you. You so cute, so handsome. You precious. We're a royal priesthood. But see, we're not able to connect it because it's a spiritual event. And sometimes we're so much in the natural, we're so in the flesh, that we don't know how to connect the spiritual truth to the fact that we were messed up, we were dirty, and that Jesus had to come to redeem us out of the mess that we're in. We could not get out of it on our own. If we could get out of stuff on our own, none of us would be here. There's some stuff that you can't get out of right now. You need a lawyer. But the lawyer couldn't get us out of that sin mess. Jesus was the only one. And he willingly and lovingly came to give up his life for you and for me so that we could be redeemed back to God, back to the part of the family of God, so we could be reconciled back to God, so we could make this marriage feast. The enemy would never want a person to consider the real truth of salvation. That's why there's so much teaching and stuff out there. And you got to know the word of God. You got to know so you can make a decision. But some of us don't want to make a decision because it's not convenient to make a decision. Because if we make a decision to accept Christ, oh my God, now I accept the Christ. Oh my God, now, oh Lord, oh what I got to do, oh what I got to give up. I guarantee you, what God has for you is worth so much more than what you think you got to give up. And I guarantee he'll help us get rid of some of that stuff that we think we can't get rid of. Amen. Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will. If you really want to, he'll help us. He don't want us to use that as an excuse. Oh, I can't go to church today because I'm hungover. And God said, well, my son hung out. Oh, Lord have mercy. The kind of stuff we throw out there, the kind of stuff we use. Oh, I can't go today. No, I got a headache. I got to make sure I can make it to work tomorrow. That's deep. Because who gave you the job? Oh, I know you got it yourself. Your resume, yeah, just flew to the top. You went in there. You just aced it. We forget so much about God.
God is in there moving things around for us, opening doors and closing doors and keeping us from danger seen and unseen and protecting us and providing for us. But we forget about all that. But see, when we go to tell somebody about Christ, sometimes that happiness, that zealousness comes out and people are like, can't be all that good. They think you're being phony. Why are you so happy about Jesus? What they be serving in your church for communion? The enemy would rather us look at everything else except the fact that a person can receive a blessed life now and eternal life in the future according to the will of the only true and living God. The truth of the matter is that the decision to accept or reject Christ is yours. Yes, it is. There's a lot of lost folk in church. I hope we know that. There's a lot of lost folk in church. They ain't serious. They're just going through stuff, but it's their choice. Amen. You're welcome. But you keep on messing with fire, you're going to get burnt. You keep on hanging around that word of God, something's going to hit one day. But some people, that's their relationship. That's what they want. They really don't love you.
Right?
They just want to get some stuff from you. Wow. Oh, yeah, there's some folks that think God's a lollipop God. Yes. Let me just hang around, see what I can get from them. Like God don't know you playing them. Where else can you get eternal life? Where else can you get? There's some folk in here you have been exposed to. You have read up on every other religion. Where else can you get eternal life through a living Savior? Where else? That's why I'm bold. Answer me right now. Where else can you get eternal life through a living Savior? What other religion gives you an eternal life through a living Savior? Where is it? We will shut down the church today and go be them. We'll go be that today. Where else? Some folk been around. There's some people that have been some other things before they came here. And you knew it wasn't fulfilling. You knew you had to get out of there. Some people just like it for the uniform that you wear. Some people like it for, you know, just how they do things, you know. They just like it because they stand at the door. Because the way they look holy. But when it gets down to nitty gritty in the midnight hour, does all that stuff bless you? Can you get in touch with the statue?
Well,
when's the last time a dead God healed you?
You know you better quit.
So here it is. The choice is yours. But I need to let you know, that you might just be making the wrong choice. Amen. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to talk about you. But I need to put it out there. It's the church's job to put it out there. We're putting everything else out there. I'm at the point now, I'm not so much excited about, we're going to have a fashion show, and then we're going to have a Tom Thumb wedding, and then we're going to have a men's fashion show, and then we're going to have a tea. When you going to start talking about Jesus? All this fundraising, when we going to do some soul raising? When are we going to start witnessing? One of the poorest attended functions in the church is evangelism. Nobody wants to talk about Jesus, but everybody wants to say they belong to him. When are we going to start sharing him and stop concealing him? Why do I need to be two persons? Why do I need to be one person in church and another person when I get on my job? Why can't I be the same person 24/7? Why am I ashamed of my Jesus? It seems that God, through Jesus Christ, through the written word and through the preached and taught word, has been trying to help us answer this question in the affirmative, that I should accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God never, you know, when you read John 3, we don't have to read John 3:16 and the following verses, because what happens is God did not send his son to condemn the world, that the world through his son might be saved. So if you're sitting here today in this church and you're on your way to hell, guess whose choice that was? And if you're sitting here today and you're on your way to heaven, guess whose choice that was? The choice is yours. And since you're not dumb, since you got some brains, you should be able to figure out what choice you should make. Jesus, while on earth, taught in parables. He taught about the kingdom of heaven to provide us with some type of understanding of salvation and eternal life. A parable is a short story or allegory that illustrates some spiritual truths. In Matthew 22, our scripture for today, Jesus used the parable about a marriage feast as an illustration about eternal life. And the reason why he used the parable is because the chief priests and the elders kept messing with him. This is right. Matthew 22 is right after Matthew 21. You know, Palm Sunday when he rides into Jerusalem. And they kept messing with him. What authority? Who are you? He said, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. And when you begin to read the parable has a lot of truths to it and a lot of things that it points to. So, number one, who is invited? Number two, who attended? And number three, what to wear? Number one, who was invited or who was invited? Number two, who attended? And number three, what to wear? You need to be dressed right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you get an invitation that says this is a black tie affair. This is semi-formal. I love when they send that one for the black tie affair because it'd be like $75, $100 per person. And I'd be like, what's the phone number? I got the black tie. I don't got the $100. Now, if you want me to be there, can I get along? No, amen. Look at Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. This is a picture of God the Father making the marriage for Jesus Christ. And you get to Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9, that's exactly what it's pointing to. And we need to remember that when God gives his word, in God's mind, it's already done. The marriage is already done. It's already taken place. You already saved. You already sanctified. You already supposed to be there. So in his mind, it's already done. But what we have to do is consider the fact that God has invited us to this marriage. And are you going to attend? Are you going to make it in? See, you got to RSVP in a certain kind of way. So who's invited? And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So that's speaking to the fact that salvation came through the Jews, okay? But you got to remember, in God's mind, already back in Genesis 3:15, he already had included us. And when you're in the Old Testament and you begin to read Deuteronomy, it is, the stranger in your gates, that's Gentiles. See, when everybody that came out of Egypt, they wasn't all pure Jewish. There's some folks that say, look at here, I see God working and I'm going with them. So you got to understand that. You look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ. They got some dead, some deep folk, and they got Rahab all up in there. They got some deep folk in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So therefore, the Gentiles were always included. But salvation came through the Jews, not just to the Jews. I wish I had a witness. So they were originally one, but what he's actually saying, salvation actually came to this church. But every time somebody sent the invitation to discipleship, the invitation to salvation, you walked out lost. So it's speaking to that also. But he said he sent the service for them to come to the wedding, and they would not come. They sent the invitation, and they would not come. And then, you know, they said they used to get like two or three invitations. One invitation was saying, I'm going to have the wedding. The second invitation said, you better come right now because everything's prepared. Look at verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them what you're bidding. This is talking about God's grace. Every time you're in a church service, God says, I'm trying to get you to accept me as Lord and Savior. I'm going to invite you one more time. But what he's trying to say in this parable, it's almost midnight. It's getting real close. It's about time for us to shut the door. And if you're so cute and you all wrapped up, you don't want to come to my wedding feast, in a minute it's going to be all right. And I'm going to ask you no more. You ever tell somebody that? I done asked you twice already. You can be a Christian and get like that. I know it. Okay. And look at this. He said, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my steak, my potatoes, my broccoli, my macaroni and cheese. Okay, I got to finish it because somebody just got real deep hungry. Okay. My oxen and my fatlings are killed and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. He sent one time, they didn't come. Then he sent again, said, come on, y'all, it's ready. It's time, come on, it's time to come on. But look at verse 5. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Don't let stuff get in your way. Put the stuff in its perspective. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. As long as stuff don't have you. Ain't nothing wrong with having money and having different, but ain't nothing wrong with that. As long as they're in their proper perspective. Amen? But these folks say, I ain't going to that thing. I ain't going. They ain't know this was the marriage. See, you have to stop and listen and read the invitation. This is be married. Ain't going to be no more.
No more.
This is it. Ain't no second chance for you to go. Once Jesus comes back, when he comes back, he's not coming back to save you. He come back to get you. And he can't get you if you're not saved. See, you got to have the blood on you. You got to have the blood of Jesus on your door. You know what I mean? That's what they did. Because then the death angel, but see, when he comes back the second time, he's not coming back as Savior. He's coming back as King. Coming back to set up a new heaven and a new earth. He's not coming back looking for you to redeem you. You ought to have been redeemed. You ought to take advantage of the invitation in John 3:16. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to mercy. I ain't got time for you, man. I'm making money, man. I ain't got time for you. I got time for you, man. I got time for church. I got time to pray. I ain't got time to read the Bible. As a matter of fact, the last time I prayed was the last time I was real sick and I was in the hospital. And I called on your name. And you healed me. And I promised you when I was on my sick bed, if you healed me, I will come to church. But you healed me. You healed me. You blessed me. You got me out of that mess. And as soon as I raised up and got my health back, my flesh rose up in me. As a matter of fact, I changed my phone number. I got tired of digging. The deaconess is calling me and talking about where you at. We've been praying for you. And can't stand them church folk getting in my way. Look at verse 6. And the remnant took his service and treated them spitefully and slew them. They were so upset. That some of them, they just messed them up. They just beat them up. The other ones slew them. You know, you can get to a point where somebody don't want to hear nothing about Jesus so much, they'll kill you. You got to think about that. They are so hard-hearted against Jesus Christ, against the church, that they don't even want to hear the truth, and they're ready to get rid of you. Who was invited? I tell you. But when the king heard thereof, he was mad. And he sent forth his armies to destroy those murderers and burn up this city. And God has already sent prophets unto us to let us know. And then he sent Jesus, who spoke to us in divers manners and in these last days has spoken to us through his son. But some folks just pushed him back, reject, kill the prophets and everything. And there's going to be judgment for that. Some say in this parable that's talking about where Jerusalem was destroyed. But, you know, that's up for discussion. But look what he does in verse 9. He changed the invitation list. You ever have a function and you got a list of people you invited and they start acting all silly with you and start getting crazy, you know? You start saying, well, okay, you ain't got to come. Get with my pen. And I put somebody else there. I'm paying for that plate anyway. Let me. Yes, you do. You say that. Something said they wanted to come, right? You can't make it? Oh, you still upset with me over 5 years? Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Yeah. You still upset with that church that upset you and you blamed it on Jesus? You ain't got to come. But guess what? The wedding feast will still go on and every chair is going to be filled. Look at verse 8. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden were not worthy. See, the choice is yours. See, you're only worthy through the blood. If you reject Christ, then you're not worthy. So look at verse 9. I changed my list of invitees. I changed it. Don't come to the marriage and look on that little table. You know, little name card they give you. Mr. and Mrs. Carpenter and Mr. and Mrs. Woodland and all. Don't look for your name.
Lord have mercy.
Your name won't be there. And don't ask for the maitre d'. Don't ask for the service. My name not on the table. It's supposed to be on. God told me to take your name off the table because you rejected Jesus. You rejected him. You rejected his love. You rejected his mercy, his grace, his salvation, and his blood. You are not supposed to be here. We do have a place for you, though. Oh, yeah, we do have a place for you. Yes, there's a place for you. The place you chose. Let me call some folks to usher you into your place. But see, we don't take it serious enough. We think we had all the time in the world. Oh, I'm healthy now. You go to the graveyard, drop by when you go home today. There's some little dates on there. There's sun up, sunrise, and sunset. Very few years.
Don't fool yourself. You look real good today, but there's some folks that roll out here by natural causes. You know what that means? They couldn't find out what you died from. You were a natural person.
Natural causes. Okay. That's exactly what it is. Hey, thank you, sir. Natural man. Amen. Look at verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. God said, okay. You don't want to come?
I'm going to get me some. Somebody won't come. Somebody going to accept my Jesus. Somebody going to accept my son. Somebody going to love my son for what my son did. And somebody going to come to this. Look here. And what they didn't realize was that when you were told to come, they also gave you a wedding garment. It's called a robe of righteousness. Because our righteousness is filthy rags. So when you came to the wedding, they would give you what to wear.
So he said, you know, go out there. So those servants went out into the highways and gather together all as many as they found, both bad and good, both Jew and Gentile, both moral and immoral, both sober, both drunk, both nice, both dirty. Yes.
In other words, if he bids you to come, don't worry about what you've done or what you look like. Because if he bids you to come, you must be worthy of the blood. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. It's so important to learn how to be a whosoever. I know you're important. I know you're important. I know your family name is important. I know your lineage is important. But learn how to be a whosoever.
And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, you see who attended? Those that accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's who attended. You know, that's what I love about God. I said, look.
I'm going to bless you, but if you don't want my blessing, I'm not going to force it on you. God has never been the forceful kind of God in that respect. He wanted us to love him and to accept his son because he wanted to.
Oh, my God. Isn't that how it is in your relationship? Don't you want your husband or your wife, your kids to love you because they love you? If you got to keep on buying them stuff to love you, you better check to see if they're your kids or your husband or your wife.
I ain't got money like that. Kopat got love me. Let a Pope, bro. Nine Pope. I ain't thinking that.
All right. Just joking. But you always got to have something for somebody to embrace you.
They always got to try to get something from you to like you. I'm not talking about little kids that call themselves buttering you up. I'm talking about adults that really don't care nothing about you, but just want to use you. Like folk use the church. They even don't care nothing. They got some professional church hoppers, you know. They go to this place and get this, go to this place and get that.
And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw their man which had not on a wedding garment. He said, the nerve of you, because when they invited you, they not only gave you the address, but they gave you what to wear. Why do you think you so bold? You want to be so arrogant in my face, in God's face.
I tell folks, if you don't love God as your pastor, I don't have a chance. If you don't listen to God, then why you don't listen to me? I'm representing, I'm an ambassador for Christ. If you don't want to listen to God, I'm done. I don't stand a chance.
He said, he saw a man he had a wedding garment on, but the wedding feast is going on. It's going on. They had fun. They going on. And he said, "Then friend," I like the way he said, "friend, just because you in here don't mean you belong here. You don't have the proper stuff on, friend. How camest thou in hither?" Because I know you received instructions. "Not having a wedding garment." And he was what?
Folks speak when they know they're wrong. Catch somebody wrong. Catch your husband wrong. Catch your wife wrong. Catch the kids doing something wrong. Well, it was, see, what had happened was,
and folks, when they know they're wrong, they know they're wrong. Their face, everything that shows, their body language that shows that you're caught in the act. How did you have the nerve? How can you have the nerve to reject my son and still come to the marriage? Some folks that bold. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're that bold. They'll just come right in. But see, they didn't understand that when they came in, that the one who gave the marriage for his son was going to be looking at you. And he was cool with it. He didn't make no big scene. Now, if it was my party, I'd make a scene. I spent all this money, all this fine food. But Jesus said, friend. If I said, Lord, if I was there, he called me friend, I would have ran to the bathroom and changed my clothes. I would have found some robe of righteousness somewhere and put it on. Look, God got a different kind of voice. When God called you friend, that's a different kind of voice. You know, when God called your name, it's a different kind of voice. It's a friend. I don't think you belong here, but, you know, I'm not going to embarrass you because you about to embarrass yourself. Anybody ever embarrass themselves? Don't answer that. And the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, many are invited, but few are chosen. I said, wow. What that means, the choice is mine. If I want to be chosen, the choice is mine. I'm invited. John 3:16 invites me to the marriage supper, to the feast. But if I want to be chosen, I got to be wrapped up in the robe of righteousness. I got to be wrapped up in the blood of Jesus. I got to be wrapped up in my salvation. For when God comes in, he's going to say, friend. You can't go to, well, you know, Pastor and co-pastor never really taught me about you. No, you ain't come to class. You ain't opened your Bible. That's what it's all about. People used to say, oh, Pastor and co-pastor, oh, they crazy. They want you to come to Bible study. They want you to read your Bible. How else you going to know who Jesus is? You read everything else? You know all the current events? You know all the sports figures, you know all the batting averages, you know all the people that play basketball, you know all who got traded, when they got traded, where they got traded, you know who's broke and don't have no money, you know all that stuff, but you don't know anything about Jesus Christ. So how much do you really love him? Eternal life is your decision and your choice. The question is, where else can you get it? Consider eternal life like this. Turn to Revelation. Well, first turn to Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. This is what this parable is referring to. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. So many people, they think they got so much time to get their lives together and get saved. I'll see y'all next week. Don't you know you don't need a new suit to get saved or a new dress? We need to dispel that. You don't need no new stuff because you're going to be given a garment to wear. To the wedding feast. You don't need that. Revelation 19 verses 6 through 9. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what you and I really are waiting for. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh, y'all learned that on Thursday night in Sister June class. Where are her students at? Omnipotent. Y'all remember? What's that? All what? Students. All what? Thank you. Thank you. All powerful. Come on, I'm going to give you a quick quiz now. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. This is what Matthew 22 is referring to. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. She will be given what to wear. Look at verse 9. And he said, and he writes, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he saith unto me, these are the true saints of God. Invited and called. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few actually show up prepared for the feast. Many are called, but few actually accept Christ. God is pulling at you. God is tugging at your life. That's why you can't sleep at night. That's why you can't get high no more. That's why nothing's working out the way it ought to work out. Because it used to work out a certain way. You used to be able to do what you did. But now you can't do what you do. Because God is trying to get your attention. Many are invited. Many are called. But few are chosen. Don't look for your invitation. You've already been invited. Look at John 3:16 and 17 and 18.
You need, when we witness to people, don't just use John 3:16 no more. You got to use that whole thing. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The choice is yours. And this is the condemnation, that light, that salvation has come into the world, and men love darkness, sin, death, rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what is it that we're waiting for? Turn to Revelation chapter 21. When you make the choice for Jesus Christ, God got something for you. I know you're going through right now. You're tired of waiting. Come on. You ready to go. You got your tuxedo. You got your gown. And you ready to go to the marriage feast. But that's not what you need to wear. You need to wear the robe of righteousness. You need to be clothed. You need to be sanctified. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new. This is what you're waiting for. This is why you're coming back and forth every Sunday and worshiping God and praising God. This, see, in God's mind, this is a done deal. He said, John, write this down so my folks know what they're entitled to. Write this down so they know what kind of house they're going to get. Write this down so they know where they're going to be living. Write this down so they know the atmosphere and they know the environment. Write this down so they know they'll be walking on streets paved with gold. Write this down, John, that I need them to know that everything they're going through right now can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in them. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That is so powerful. Amen. No more distance. Even though he's right here with us, it seems where we are now in these bodies, there's a distance. But when this happens, hallelujah. So that's how you got to read this, and you got to really get into it. And look at verse 4. And I always laugh when I read this verse, because we spend more money on tissues in this church a year than any other church in America. So I said, God, I'm so glad you thought about it. I said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Come on, somebody. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain for the former things. Did you read that in Isaiah? Forget about the former things. I'm giving you, look, you got to hold on. See, you got your invitation in John 3:16. Now you got to be prepared to walk through your salvation, to walk in this thing, so that when it's time for the marriage feast, you'll be ready. Look. And he that sat upon the throne, verse 5, said, behold, I will make what? All things what? Yeah, somebody, I'm just tired of this old, this and this old. And this. He said, I'm going to make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is what? It's already done. You don't have to see no realtor. You don't have to go through and see no pastors, no intercessors. It's yours. Just as long as he don't come to you and say, friend, friend, why are you here dressed like that? It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, he that takes my invitation to accept my Son as the Lord and Savior, he that will go through for my glory, he that will go through whatever they need to go through for my glory, who he will give my name praise, honor, and glory in season and out of season. He that will walk in this season, and he that will still love me out of this season, to him that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, and she shall be my daughter. You tired of the family you got now? Choice is yours. So see, we don't want to, because it seems like it's so far away.
It seems like this thing is real. The enemy will get all up in your mind, try to make you think this thing is real. This is so real. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And see, when you witness to people, they can see it, or they know whether or not you tell them the truth or not. See, we're not trying to increase numbers. We're just trying to get folks to know who Jesus is. I don't care what church they go to, as long as the church where they're being fed the word of God. You might go to a church around the corner. That doesn't bother me. We're talking about the body of Christ. So when you go and witness, when you witness to people, you want them to get saved, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then get them to the church that's going to teach and preach the word unto them. But we're talking about folks that are lost out there. They need to see Christ. They need to know Christ through our actions and what we do and what we say and how we live and how we do service. And the doors of the church are open. Can anybody come in? You have requirements, though, for the marriage feast we do. But to get to know Jesus? Mm-mm. So what are you waiting for? Joshua said, choose ye this day who you going to serve. As for me, somebody need to make that claim today. You've been. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, Pastor, I live by myself. Well, this is your house. This is your house. Well, for me and my apartment. It's for me and my bungalow. And for me and my loft. Yes. God fits in any one of them. And for me and my mansion. We shall. Serve the Lord. Well, Pastor, how about if my family don't? You just keep on serving. Because they're going to get the same invitation. Well, Pastor, how about the little kids? Well, you know, God is omniscient. He understands that. He knows about the age of understanding, the age of accountability. And don't tell me what young kids don't understand. They know all the words to Beyonce songs. They can shake it like Beyonce. Come on. They rap like them rappers. Come on, somebody. Pastor, they can't learn the Bible verse. Put some music to it. Come on, somebody. Mary had a little lamb. Yeah, come on. You put some music to it. Let's close out. Anybody ever heard of this thing called Angie's List? And what Angie does is you subscribe to that service, right? And she's supposed to certify everybody on the list. So that if you call them for their service, they're supposed to be reputable. Am I right about it? But won't you certify Jesus on your list? Would you refer Jesus to somebody? Would you recommend him to somebody as somebody capable, somebody who's willing, and somebody who's able? We go through all this other stuff, referring folk to folk. But how about Jesus? When are you going to refer Jesus to your family? To your friends, to the stranger in thy gates. Because the choice is yours, but guess what? You got to be able to make a choice. A lot of folk can't make a choice because they haven't been given the choice. In these days and times, yes, believe it or not, there's some folk don't even know about Jesus. So they need to be able to make a choice. But the choice is yours. If you're here today and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, the choice is yours. I'm not trying to force you. Matter of fact, let me calm down. I don't want my overzealousness to force you. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, you need to make a choice. I'm not talking about the church you used to belong to, the church.